Rashi.
I can't whistle.
Rashi.
Hobart.
Rashi, I need to talk to you about Hobart. Rashi.
What? Well, I can't find Hobart. I don't know where he is.
Well, I need to talk to you about that. We took him to the vets today.
You had him put down.
No, we didn't.
You put my dog down, like the most rarest animal in the whole world.
No, we didn't have him put down.
You had him put down.
No, we didn't have him put down.
Because you're cheap and you don't know how to feed him anymore.
No,
you're
we didn't.
You're wearing a stupid hat. No. You had him put down. My dog.
Rashi, stop crying. No, no. He's fine. He's fine. We didn't have him put down.
Where is he? Hobart?
Well, he had to have a shot. You know, he had to have a shot, you know, like...
You shot my pets!
No. A shot to keep him healthy.
Things to keep him healthy. You shouldn't have killed him. You put him
no,
down.
No. He had some medicine.
Put him down.
He's alive. He's alive.
Where is he?
Well...
Hobart!
He didn't like the shot, so he bit the technician and he ran outside.
Yeah.
He got in the car and he started driving and we don't know where he is.
Did you get a video?
I got a little bit of it on my iPhone here. You can see
him. Watch it.
You can see him getting in the car there. He kind of smashed into Santoro sandwiches, and then he grabbed some pepperoni, took off. We have a report that he's out on the desert. He may be headed toward Vegas. We're not sure.
Yeah, I hope he brings me home some sexy chips.
Chips?
Casino chips.
Oh, I think you have a skewed sense of reality, Rashi.
Hobart.
Should we talk about what the dogs did this week?
What did they do?
They got sick.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Because they're well now.
Yeah, because we're going...
There's the end of the story.
No, I mean, this is sort of like the dog whisperer update. Everybody has to get physical exams before they
can be
on the show.
Did we say they're actually officially going to be on it?
I think we
did.
Oh, no, not official. It was...
I thought it was official.
No, it was very promising last time.
I thought it was official.
Oh,
well, it is now. It is official. They are going to be on the show. Well, they're going to shoot the show.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
And so we had to take them to get clean bills of health, and they needed vaccinations. And so they had 3 vaccinations each yesterday, and they were listing around here like they were zombie dogs. I mean, they were in so much pain last night. It was insane.
Yeah, well, Muggsy did okay, but Deuce just sat. Paul got mad at me.
What?
Well, because of what I said to Deuce last night, because he just sat facing the back wall. He sat between us, like between our pillows. He was on the bed between our pillows, up at the head of the bed, just staring at the wall. Because every time he tried to lie down, he was so sore, he couldn't lie down.
Yeah.
Because they got shots in 3 out of 4 legs, and so the pain was crisscrossing across the center of his body. It was just all of his muscles were just in agony. So above our bed, we have a Karl Barks painting of a nude Indian woman whose breasts are bare. And Deuce was just kind of staring at the wall, and
his
eyes were looking up. Yeah,
it is. Very
and interesting. And I said, Deuce, why are you staring at that? That painting sucks. And Paul goes, Hey,
that's Colonel Barks you're talking about.
If Barks had painted a duck bill on that woman, that painting would be worth a lot of money.
I know.
As it is now, it's worth about 48 cents. So if there are any Karl Barks fans out there who are into Native American cheesecake, give me a call. I'll get you a good price on this painting.
I told Paul, I said, you know, he was totally not a boob guy because they're not even like anatomically correct. They kind of look fake.
No, it's like, it was, you know.
No, they look weird.
Indian boob plant.
They look like you could juggle them, Ezra.
Wow.
She looks like it.
Thanks.
It's a painting of Pocahontas, but not the Disney
Ezra's
Pocahontas.
Face is so red, and
it's
no
a
one
callback to
why.
Off the Air. Yeah,
she's like,
what's
know.
That? What'd you say?
I said that's a callback to Off the Air.
It was, but no one will know what that means.
Yeah, she's bare chested. She's got a buffalo robe or some sort of robe around. She's holding a basket.
Her face is beautifully done, but her boobs are just really off model.
Well, sometimes Native American.
Are off model.
I want you to finish that sentence. Sometimes Native American what?
Girls are kind of small like that, so I don't know.
No, it's not that she has tiny tatas. It's that they're all messed up.
It's that they're wall-eyed.
Well, he's a duck man. I mean,
a duck man. If she had feathers, she'd be spot on.
Well, the 2 cowgirl paintings we have in there.
They're beautiful.
But they got their shirts on.
Thank God.
Yeah, okay. Well, all right.
This dude does not know how to paint boobs.
Maybe it's from memory, and it's been a long time.
Well, you've seen Daisy Duck.
I have not seen her without her shirt on.
I mean, she doesn't have much going on upstairs. Even Magic.
Seen her without her pants on.
Oh, hey, her now.
Yeah,
you know, when, dress.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell
that. Well, funny animals, you know. It's different anatomy.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The feathers in that painting are beautifully rendered.
Yeah.
Her face is stunning. Her boobs are just weird. That's all. Okay. That's all I'm saying. So Deuce was staring at the painting. And I said, Deuce, why are you staring at it? They're just trying to add a little levity because he was just in agony. And he was just sitting there shuddering and staring up at the wall like he was in a daze. And I said, why are you staring at that painting? It sucks. And Paul was like, come on, really?
I paid a lot of money for that painting.
But you probably did.
All right. Okay, look. What? Those mermaids. What about their boobs?
You can't see them.
They're covered with seashells.
I mean, but the proportions are okay for a torso, right? I have a painting of by Karl Marx of mermaids.
It's not a question of whether or not they're in proportion. No, they're not really proportionate, as a matter of fact. And furthermore, she's got some weird hip stuff going on.
They're fish hips. She's a mermaid.
fish hips?
She's a fish.
They squeeze out lots of little eggs. They don't have to give birth.
It looks like she's being partially swallowed by a fish. Does it not?
Well,
it looks like it's eaten the lower half of her body, and it is not really feeling very good because she looks like she's in shock.
Oh, well, I can't fault
you
there.
And you would think that she would stab it with the trident that she's holding, but she doesn't.
You know, it's kind of weird that she doesn't have, like, a little, like, black doggy nose or something. Those are, like, real humans, you know?
I'll attach mm-hmm.
And every time Barks did a story with real humans, you know, this is sort of interesting. Facebook. One, they all kind of look kind of weird, like they should have little beagle boy doggy noses.
Yeah.
But also, the editors asked him, Carl, stop drawing women.
Why? Because he doesn't know how to draw boobs.
Well, maybe that, or maybe he drew them a little too... You know, I think the contrast was too jarring to have, you know, real humans in the world with the duck and dog and mouse people. But one of his best...
Well, yeah, because the ducks are supposed to be human in those stories.
Yeah.
Like, they're, you know...
I mean, it's sort of like the ducks are Mennonites and everybody else.
Uncle Scrooge has a human hand there. That's kind of creepy.
I don't know.
What's he stabbing there, an octopus?
Where?
Uncle Scrooge's human hand. Check that out.
Which human hand?
No, it's holding, holding the rope and a hook.
Yeah.
He only has three fingers or feathers or whatever those are supposed to be.
They don't look like feathers at all. That looks very human.
Well, you know, it's duck anatomy. Yeah. Disney duck anatomy is like bird anatomy is they don't have wings.
But they have feathers that can function as fingers. I understand.
Yeah.
How are they going to grab his money if he doesn't have opposable thumbs?
Exactly.
Well,
they could probably scoop it up with their...
Oh, yeah.
When I was younger, I had a theory like that maybe cartoon animal hands were weird and unformed and feathery, and that's why they wore gloves.
Oh.
You know, it would have kind of...
Interesting.
But then I found out the real reason Mickey Mouse wears gloves is because he had an all-black body and you couldn't see the hand against him. And they only figured out later, like with characters like Pepe Le Pew and Daffy Duck, they put a soft color line around it. So if Daffy's hands are, like he's got his arms crossed, you would do a line, a lighter, like a gray line and hand ink it. And I have a really nice cell of Pepe Le Pew where his hands are by his body and you can see it, you know, very clearly, you know, that's, you know, something they would do. But back at the time, they were just hacking these things out. So
I like your theory better.
What?
They
have these weird.
They all have these
hands.
Secret deformities.
Yeah.
Okay.
Works for
me. I actually had an idea that I think I may. You know, we were talking with a friend of ours about short Mickey Mouse cartoons, and I actually had an idea for a cartoon that I would like to go over and pitch because I just came up with it today. Like Mickey, like he's eating pie or something, or he gets some ice cream on his hands, and he has to like take his gloves off and he washes them. And he, you know, just they're in the washer or something. Goes outside, you know, goes down the street to get another ice cream or something, and nobody recognizes him. It's like, hello, stranger, who are you? I'm Mickey Mouse. I live next door to you, Goofy. I lived there for years. You're a stranger. I've never seen you before. And suddenly, people are whispering about the stranger. Nobody recognizes him. And he's,
oh, how funny!
And he's like, but it's me. It's Mickey. I just took my gloves off. It's like, these come off? Are you serious? You know, like that sort of thing.
And the punchline is that the laundry has dyed his gloves pink and they still don't know him.
Or they shrunk and he's got like, actually the ending I thought of was he's got with two little finger puppets, you know, for his fingers. Because it's like the weirdest thing. There are a couple of cartoons where he does take his gloves off. And it's weird because the only thing on him
that looks naked.
There was a cartoon called Mickey's Delayed Date where he goes into the bathroom and he comes out and he's got a towel wrapped around himself and you just see like the black hands for the first time. You know, they probably used it again in other color cartoons, but it was the first one I remember seeing them in. And even occasionally when they do licensing with the modern day Mickey, you know, plain crazy Mickey's not supposed to have them, so you can accept it. But, you know, it always looks weird. It's like he's going swimming. It never looked right, you know. Like, he's going swimming. Why doesn't he take off his gloves? So they did some merchandise. I remember seeing a little sculpture of him playing at the beach. And they took his gloves off, and it's like, it still looks weird.
Yeah. It looks unnatural.
Yeah. You know, it does look unnatural because you don't expect that. But look, there's Oswald over there. He doesn't wear any gloves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's either that or Disney had a weird glove fetish or something like that.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think it's... someone told you that it was that pragmatic reason about him not being able to see his hands. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I buy it. Actually, I remember in the Lost Room, writer's room one day, that was over on the Disney studios, I just drew the sketch of Mickey at home, and he's like walking around with a towel around his waist, no gloves on, and he's like drinking milk out of the carton standing in front of the refrigerator.
Nice.
And that's what I imagine he does during his day off. He just takes the gloves off and goes like, it feels good. And so anyway, I had this idea for a short
cartoon. I can stretch out.
It's like suddenly he's a strange mouse. Nobody knows him. He's wearing gloves, and it's just like, you know, just doesn't, you know. Becomes like a fugitive or something. But anyway, I'll never do that cartoon stuff. But it's fun to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, Donald.
Doing some fun stuff. We were talking to a fellow who works in development over there, and they are doing some really amazing stuff with Mickey. We can't tell you anything because I don't know where they are in the projects and, you know, like whatever. But they're doing some really intensely great things with Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. Yep.
That's exciting.
Cool.
Yeah.
So with Donald, the gloves were more of a fashion choice. He never needed them. He's got white feathers, you know.
Donald wore gloves?
No, he never needed them because you can always see his hands, right. You know. But somebody
he was the only one that wore a shirt too. Everyone else wore
Joe pants. Joe Carioca, for instance, he didn't need them either, but he just wore them because they looked fashionable.
His name was Jose.
Well, Jose Carioca.
Does he go by Joe?
In America, he does, but you know,
interesting.
In Brazil, he's called Jose, and he's actually an extremely popular character down there
in South America.
Yeah, in Brazil.
Well, that was where he was developed, isn't it?
Yeah, in Brazil.
That was a great documentary.
He's a carioca. That means somebody from Rio.
So. I thought it meant music without the lead singer.
What, karaoke? No, it's karaoke.
I'm kidding.
If he was from Japan, he'd be Joe Karaoke, which is not a bad idea for a character.
What, a karaoke singer? Yes, it is.
A Japanese parrot that sings karaoke.
That's a terrible idea.
Somebody over at Disney would probably buy it. Not that it's a terrible idea. It's
for just, thousands of dollars.
It's just, you know.
For dimes.
Okay, well, maybe we better leave Joe Carioca down south. Although he is
love him. He's so colorful.
He's my dad's favorite character. Is he?
I didn't know that.
He loves the Three Caballeros. He just thinks that, that's great. Those are great characters. Yeah. Yeah.
They're
yeah.
fun.
Yeah. And, but let's see.
We got any Twitter questions?
You know, we do have some Twitter questions. The dogs have had their shots.
Mm-hmm.
They're okay.
We had a little visitor this week. I told about Garfield.
Yes.
But we didn't say about the Nerf war.
Nerf war.
We had a Nerf war.
I saw those pictures.
Oh, I should show you the guns. They're huge, huge, biggest guns ever. He says, "Can we go to Toys R Us?" And we were at this place in. It's like Chuck E. Cheese. It's called Kids Castle, and it's kind of close. Not really, but it's fun because it's like Chuck E. Cheese, but it's for older kids, you know? So, like, once your kids hit 10 and you take them to Chuck E. Cheese, they're kind of like, yeah, well. But you can take them here, and this place has a carnival ride in the back, and it has more, like, Seawolf and shoot 'em up games and the big bass wheel. It's like the step between Chuck E. Cheese and Dave and Buster's. It's like that perfect tween.
The games are kind of a step upward. Mm-hmm. They're more like classic arcade games.
And they have stuff for little-ish kids, but most of the stuff, like they have the coin drop games with that slider that comes out and it pushes coins. You can get forward. A lot of tickets at a time. So he really likes to go there. And so I took him there, and there was just kind of nothing there for him, you know, like the prize-wise, because he won a bunch of tickets, and he was like, well...
How many spider rings can you have?
Well, yeah, I know. I have one, and that's all I need.
Yeah.
But anyway, he says, well, can I go get a Nerf gun? Because we also couldn't find the gun he was looking for at the costume shop.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And so I took him to Toys R Us, and he picks out this gun that takes 6D batteries.
Wow.
To fire it. And the thing fires like 45 feet. And he likes to get right up behind you and shoot it so that it pokes out your chest and you from the back and you
like,
go,
like an alien.
He gives you the shower of little darts, you know, and he gets right up to you and just starts spraying.
And it's rapid fire.
Yeah.
You know, the machine gun, and it comes with like bunches of clips, like each clip or each magazine has 18 little Nerf darts in it. So he's like, gotta reload. Click, click. And he's like, And we go to bed that night, and Uncle Paul and me and our nephew were all out back having a Nerf war. He takes the stage, like, I call the stable. So he's covered on all three sides.
Yeah.
And all he's got to defend is his front. And he's even got a wall to duck behind. I'm behind the pool. And poor Paul is just standing next to a tree. I mean, he's just
I used the hammock. I turned the hammock on its side and used that for cover. And I had the single shooter.
And then
shooter.
You used me as a body shield.
The sniper. Yeah, that was classy of me. But I picked him off with one shot, you know.
You did. You did pick him off. I got him in the forehead once, too, which was victorious.
You didn't use the tree like the
he did.
The old Looney Tunes where they jump
behind
where
he jumps behind the tree.
And then the tree walks invisible.
Yeah. But it was really fun. And we did that for about an hour and a half, like really just running and yelling and reloading and picking up the darts. And it was hysterical. So we were up until about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Just
and
playing?
Six, yeah.
Wow.
Nerf. And at about 6:05 a.m. the next day, he sits up and he goes, well, let's get up and play some Nerf.
Yeah.
And Paul and I were like,
we weren't
shut
done.
Up
quiet,
and go
sunny,
to sleep.
Go
and he's like, I'm ready. I slept like crazy. Remember how we slept?
He was. Kid. Oh, gosh. All right. You came in and slept on the couch.
I did.
And
because I was alpha maled out of the bed.
Yeah.
He says,
we don't have a guest room.
I can sleep in the bed because I'm fine with that. There's room for me. And I said,
it's like, okay, I'm on the couch. And then you said, no, you sleep in the...
There's no way I'm going to put you on the couch. It's easier for me. You know? So, but it was totally fine. And he was really delightful. He is so smart.
It was like that cartoon where Yogi Bear has to share his bed with Yaki Doodle.
Yeah.
Mr. Bear. Shut up, kid. I'm trying to sleep. Ain't you ever heard of hibernation?
And
no.
And then I'm out here like that, shut up, quiet!
Oh, yeah, you're the bear from the Tex Avery cartoon.
Yeah.
Shut up, quiet, shut up!
Just come in and beat everybody up and come back to bed.
Yeah. But actually, you know, once he settled in, he was out. He was out so much that I'm actually doing some reading, and I hear this clunk. And I look over, and he has fallen almost completely out of the bed, and his head is on the bedside table, and the rest of him is dangling out. And I go, I got to push him back in. Come on. And I go, nobody could sleep through this. You can't. But he did. He slept soundly all the way through it. And I pushed him into the bed, and I tucked him back in. And then there wasn't a word out of him until 6 o'clock. And then it was like, well, time to get up. It's time to shoot you people.
We have to have a pool war now.
Yeah, get it. Everybody in the pool because we're gonna take this into the water and we're gonna have a
Well, we have these like these
Nerf
pool toys
filled with water.
Pool battle.
Well, even better, we have these pool toys. I think they're called like manta rays or something like that.
Oh, they shoot underwater.
And they're rafts, but they go from your like midsection and you can lean on it with your arms. And where it's so like you can kick with your legs and move around the pool.
Uh-huh.
But it's almost
so
like a kickboard, but it's inflatable.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you lie on this thing, and there's two water guns. If you extend your arm, you're lying on your stomach straight forward so you can
it's
kick
like
around the
some
pool.
Some old-fashioned G.I. Joe scuba
so
gun guy.
Awesome. You have two Callahan mount.
Oh, she
and
did,
then
yeah.
And but the squirt guns go down, the tubes from the squirt guns for the reload go down into the
wow.
pool, so you're never out of water. And he was like, blow them up. It's 8:05. Get in the pool right now. I have to know this. I have to see this. And we didn't get around to it, so we'll have to do that when he's here tomorrow.
I remember when I was a kid, they had these toys that were like a styrofoam ring, and they had like an alligator head or a little fire truck on the front, and you squeezed a ball and the water shot out of it. And I used to think they were the coolest toys in the world, and they were so crappy by comparison. They were so crappy. I remember them with great fondness, but if I saw one now, one thing, it would only fit around my finger, but also it would be like, they were just so crummy.
Do you remember what they were called? I want to try to find a picture of them.
No, they probably would have rotted away. As I remember, they were just like these styrofoam rings. And I mean, you know, it's toys from the 60s. They don't really exist anymore.
That sound of Deuce snoring in the background is a very beautiful noise to us, mm-hmm. considering he didn't sleep at all. That we called the vet this morning, and she said, no, it's actually pretty normal for them to be that uncomfortable after that many vaccinations. But if you swing over, I'll give him some Rimadyl, which is like an anti-inflammatory, sort of like a Motrin. And so that's music to my ears to hear him snoring like that. And it just
he's passed
and
out.
He is out.
It was
like
something.
His head's on the nightstand table and he's half hanging
sure
out the
is.
Bed, just like our nephew.
They were in pain, but you know we also took Hobart to get his shots with him because he hasn't had any shots for a long time.
Yeah, that was horrible.
He just started shrieking. He took off most of a technician's arm and then he jumped to the Z3 and I think he's halfway to Indio by now.
He probably is.
He's out in the desert doing something, so I don't know. Just, and I think he has a hypodermic still in his butt.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I don't know.
Ouch. He's on his way to Vegas. That's a heck of an accessory there. Yeah.
We'll have to call the police and see if he turns up in a week.
Did you ever have a Farrell's ice cream parlor anywhere?
Yeah.
Sure. Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
With the singing guys?
Yeah.
When my sister was a little tiny baby, they put the little tiny Farrell's hat on her head.
Really?
And we have a picture of her. She's just born. She's red still and has no hair. And I don't even know if she'd opened her eyes yet. I don't know if people do what puppies do. We have no children. Can you tell? I don't know how long it takes infants to open their eyes.
They're
bad.
Blind for months.
Oh my God, what was my undergrad degree? Biology? Really? I can tell you all about a hydrophobic phospholipid bilayer, and I don't know how long it takes newborns to open their eyes. Okay.
They're looking around right away.
Are
like,
they?
Yeah, everything looks, you know, blurry, but it's like...
Oh, I don't know anything about
it. They're like little, bald, blind, dumb men.
I'm
like,
hungry for some reason. The food has stopped coming in through my belly, and now I have to use my mouth for something. I use it for crying and eating.
Yeah, so she was still red, but she's wearing this little tiny Farrell's hat about the size of your palm.
How old was she? Like a tiny baby?
Oh, she was about 6.
Wow.
No, she was tiny. A little raisin of a baby.
Oh, okay.
Because it was my 5th birthday, which would have meant she was...
So you took her to the ice cream parlor, too. That's cute.
She came to my ice cream party, and I was 5. And she would have just been...
had an ice cream party.
That's awesome. Party. Oh,
but yeah. I was 5, so she would have been 2.5 weeks old.
Wow.
Because she was born April 3rd, and my birthday is April 22nd.
That's
18
right.
days.
That's right.
So if it was exactly on my birthday, she'd be just about 20 days old.
What'd she get you for your birthday?
Nothing, that skunk. You know I got spanked the day she was born for giving her the raspberries through the nursery window? I didn't want a sister. I'm glad I have one. I really love her, but I did not want one when I was the only grandchild on both sides.
I still don't want my
like,
brother.
Oh, you know what? I wasn't
the only grandchild on my dad's side, but my cousins lived in Illinois, and my other set of cousins were quite a bit older, and so I was the only little grandchild that saw grandma on a regular basis on my dad's side, and the only grandchild at all on the other side.
Oh, wow.
I was so spoiled. My grandfather had a boat called the SS Misty Lee.
He really did.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
That is
and then
spoiled.
Came my sister.
Everything got...
I'm glad she's there.
At least
you know,
she didn't
I,
say
I,
take
I have
a kid
I have
back.
A feral story.
You do?
That.
Wait, what did you say, Emily?
One of my brothers.
At least she didn't push me off the roof of the garage into the pool, right? Boy, I'm just bringing up all kinds of personal stuff. Emily's brothers used to do that to her. Stop playing my game.
One of my brothers, when the other one was born, they walked up to my mom and went, I don't like the new kid. Can you take him back?
Oh, when you were born?
No, not me.
Not me.
My other brothers. One of the bad ones.
Now they're best friends. Now they're like best friends, though.
That's good. See, I like that story. My sister and I get on quite well, I think. You know,
I loved it when a new kid showed up. I got a toy.
You did?
Yeah, I got 5 tiny kids when Jane showed up.
You did?
Yeah.
You traded them for...
No. When I was a kid, Mark's had this line of toys. They had Disney kids and tiny kids. They had everything. They had like tiny soldiers and you know, your mother's going to have a new baby. Really? What am I getting? You know, I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. No, I don't care. What toy am I getting? You know, because I got a toy when Bruce was born. When Jane was born, I got to go to the dime store with like $2. I bought, you know, 7 TV tiny kids. You know, it's
nice.
Like, oh, great. I got Hokey Wolf. I got Snagglepuss.
No, when they
you have a baby sister. Yeah, that's great. I got Yakky Doodle. I got the alligator who tries to eat Yakky Doodle. Don't you want to see your sister? No. I got tiny kids.
Did the tiny kids come in like a dark packaging? You couldn't tell like my fruit head babies? You didn't know which one you were getting?
No, they actually came in little cardboard boxes and... It was actually pretty well done.
You could see what they were doing.
Yeah, they had a little window on. They had a little open window. They came. They had them at the dime store, and they all had them on, not a shelf, but in a bin. You know, and you had to go through them. So it was actually pretty well done. For each Hanna-Barbera show, they had a different box. So the Flintstones had like a little cave opening, and Yogi Bear had a little forest opening, and Huck had a little theater opening, and Quick Draw had a little desert opening.
Okay.
So you got them according to whatever location was most distinctive of the character. So if you had a little forest background, you had a character from Yogi Bear. If you had a little city one, it was from Top Cat or something. And they stopped doing them right before they hit the Jetsons. And they never did a Jetsons set.
So all the Tinykins, I'm looking at them right now, and all the Tinykins, they actually came as a set. They didn't sell them individually. Huh?
No, they did. I have them in the individual boxes, but they also did some big gift sets.
The play sets, because that's what I'm looking at here.
Yeah, they had those, and they had different sizes, because I just got an Alfie Gator, And it should be small, but actually he towers over the other one. If we're doing him in scale, he's like Godzilla to the other ones. And I remember, and I do have one somewhere in a box, and he's tiny. So I guess they did two sizes. You know, they put him out. Because I remember I had a Flintstones playset where it was the same models of them, but they were bigger size of them.
Okay.
So there were moderate size, like 2 inches, and then there were tiny ones. So it's
was
a
there mystery. Ever any one that you didn't get that you wanted?
No, I have them all now.
Every single one?
Every single one.
Aw.
Yeah.
I always get excited when I find something that I can buy for you because you have everything.
Well, I mean, Alfie Gator was the last one I needed.
But he's too big, right?
Well, if there's a small one. Yeah. But I have one somewhere. I know I've got one in a box somewhere.
You are the only person I know, I think, who probably saved all of his toys from when you were a little kid and still have them. He's got a Boppa Bear toy that he had when he was just little tiny and a Dino the Dinosaur.
Dino the Dinosaur.
Wow.
Yeah.
I took pretty good care of my toys. Some of the toys, you know, the other kids have. Like, I had a Winnie the Pooh from before Disney got his hands on Winnie the Pooh. You know, like, there were other Winnie the Pooh toys, and this was an actual Winnie the Pooh stuffed doll.
Oh, wow.
That came out a couple of years before the first of the Winnie the Pooh movies. And I took that thing with me everywhere. You know, it was like my teddy bear. And then when I got older, I gave it to, you know, it became Bruce's teddy bear. And then in later years, it would be like, well, I'm going to college. I'm taking Pooh Bear with me. It's like, no, you're not. He's mine. I still need him. What do you need him for? You're in high school. You're going to college. What do you need him for? So Bruce got the Winnie the Pooh Bear. And so it's his now. So he has Pooh. And he had Eeyore growing up. So he still has Pooh and Eeyore. So that's...
And you have Twestions.
And I have Twestions, yes. And
what are they?
We should get to those. Do you have any toys from when you were a kid?
No.
I bought you the one that you had.
The magical musical thing.
The magical musical thing, yeah.
Did you guys ever have a magical musical thing when you were little?
What's that?
That was a toy that you really wanted.
I would play a song for you on it.
Oh.
Can I do some questions while you...
Do, yes. Okay. Because it might take me a while to get it out because this giant thing is in front of the closet door.
Okay, Super Ego.
Tell them what it is.
What?
Oh,
yes. We bought a new toy today. It's a High Striker.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you hit the hammer on it and it rings a bell.
There's
yeah.
No way I can get it. I'll have to play a song next time.
Okay.
I wanted you to play the Twestions from the fans music, but I think Super Rika's going to
say it. It's boop, 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 yeah, exactly.
Twestions from the fans.
Thank you, Super Rika.
That was great.
Yeah.
Yes, but I want to hear the real music.
Questions from the fans.
Thank you. That was really nice.
Okay, we got
some. Do you have Baba Louie, Tiny Kid?
You know, the only one I think I don't have is the Bedrock Fireman. There was a Bedrock.
But you have Baba Louie?
I have Baba Louie. He's up there.
Oh.
See, the a few years ago, I bought the big gift set that had 36 characters, and they made actually 38. And the ones they left out were Alfie Gator and the Bedrock Fireman. So I don't, actually, I do not have the Bedrock Fireman.
Hmm.
Unless I've got him in a solo box somewhere.
Okay, what are your questions,
sir? Okay, the questions are... Greg Condon writes, could you talk about the origin of the Tiny Toons music video episode? Still a classic. Oh, that's a favorite.
That is a fun one.
That was a really good one.
Was first exposed to a couple They Might Be Giant songs.
You know, that was how we did the show back then. It was like... one of the great things about working at Warner Brothers was they had a lot of artists, recording artists, working with them. And occasionally they would want to do some synergy, like let's get our songs into a cartoon or something. Or they'd have artists that were interested in contributing to like a Batman DVD or something like that. And with the music video episode, we had They Might Be Giants. They wanted to give us some songs, and the songs like Particle Man, very visual. The
Istanbul,
not Constantinople. Yeah. And I remember Particle Man. Bruce Timm boarded himself.
Oh, really?
And it was wonderful. And I looked at the board for that coming in, and man, that sucker, he doesn't draw...
It's still the most vivid in my mind of what it looked like frame by frame.
Well, the board on that was terrific. And I think, Constantinople was by Doug McCarthy.
Okay.
I know that it was an Art Vitello-directed episode, so all his star board men were doing that. I think Doug... Did
that
Istanbul.
Nice Casablanca homage.
Yeah, that was really terrific. And Bruce did all of Particle Man. And he just, is it superheroes? Is it, what is
the
it?
Wrestling
and
was
It was
brilliant.
Wrestling, and it was a brilliant touch on it. I remember and I looked at the storyboard and I was going like, bastard can draw so well and with such character, and the things like the whole thing with Hampton as a sort of like bored sports announcer and putting the Crusher in there from Looney Tunes, and he, And also, he did the Babs cartoon. He did Respect.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he did that. And that was a little shorter one, but he did mm-hmm. that one. And I remember he did all the models on that one. The models were really cute for that one. And
like the Yak the Yak was good.
Bruce is like the best caricaturist ever. Even like the thing of like Aretha Franklin, you know, like on the cover of the tape that Babs has. It just... Mm. He can get somebody down in just a few lines. You know, if you ever get a Bruce Timm caricature of yourself, you know, count yourself lucky, because he can capture you in just an image. You know, and sometimes he is absolutely devastating. Sometimes, you know, but it's terrific. I've been on the business end of his pencil more than a few times, like the shots of me dressed as Harley in the show mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Well, we got that painting in the other room. He did a whole.
You know, we should definitely put that up for Halloween.
Oh yeah,
because you look like Sweetums.
Oh, you do. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny. It's like I wasn't that heavy when he painted me, so I think it. You know. It's like
Gossamer.
Yeah.
I look like Gossamer. Yeah. Yes. My feet go straight out like this.
Yeah.
And I have this big hunched shape, and it's like.
We've had. I think actually the listeners are still waiting for me to post a picture of it, because I know.
Oh, okay. We'll get to that. It's terrific. But and we had Julie Brown coming in and doing a parody of herself as Julie Bruin, and the Money song, and oh, here's a story I can tell you about that. This is one of my favorite stories ever. We had a really terrific writer working on the first season of Tiny Toons named Jim Reardon. And you might know that name because he is credited on I'd say, like 80% of the Simpsons episodes as a storyboard consultant. He worked as a director on The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. He actually left Tiny Toons to get on The Simpsons, I think their second or third season.
Okay.
And I believe he went to CalArts, terrific director, great story man, one of the funniest guys I've ever worked with, and a really, really terrific guy. And he was working with Tom Mitten on Tiny Toons early on. And he came in and he wrote a segment which was not produced. But I was dying when I was reading the thing. It was such a great segment. Was all the songs we used were needle drops. You know, like mm-hmm. we took them off records and everything. And he came in and he actually was co-director on WALL-E, I think.
Oh,
now that I remember, he went to Pixar and he did a bunch of projects at Pixar. Now he's back. I think he's at Disney Features. I'm supposed to have lunch with him one of these days.
Tell me say hi.
I don't know. And he came up with this idea where we took a Bobby Darin song, one of the most depressing songs I've ever heard in my life. But but Bobby Darin does it as this upbeat swinging song called Artificial Flowers, and Jim wrote a whole script to go with it, and. And we were going to have the segment where Buster's making the introduction and the Dodo comes in. Go-Go Dodo comes in. He goes, hey, what about my song? And he goes, oh, you sing? And he goes, yes, and not many people know it, but I do a flawless impersonation of Bobby Darin. And the song Artificial Flowers, it's a snazzy, upbeat, Vegas-y song, you know. And it's a song about dead parents who, and their little girl is dying. It's like the little match girl. And this little girl struggles in the snow and making, you know, she made artificial flowers, flowers of fashion for ladies to wear. No, I'm getting the lyrics all wrong, but it's basic flowers for ladies of fashion to wear. That's the song. And, you know, once I heard the song, it's like I listened to it obsessively a dozen times, and I read the script, and I was laughing my ass off because
it doesn't sound funny at all.
No, but it's great. The script was really funny because it was really irreverent, and the way he did it was, Go-Go is singing the song, and he's in Vegas on stage singing, and we cut to Babs as the little match girl who's like bleeding, her fingers are bleeding as she makes the little flowers, and the song ends with the girl dying in the snow. You know,
that's hilarious, Paul.
Well, it's great.
No.
Because she gets sick
great.
And dying. No, it was hysterical. I was on the floor when it was all the writing. The way he wrote it was he wrote the lyrics and then he'd sing like, cut to Babs, you know, struggling to make flowers and but playing it up is really mawkish and silly. You know, cut to Go-Go rolling sevens with two showgirls on each arm. So he's singing and living it up like Frank Sinatra singing this big Vegas-y song, and then we cut to Babs starving and dying in the snow. And it's still
not funny.
But the song, you have to listen to the song, because the song is really, it's a real ring-a-ding jazzy song. And
it's
I was
upbeat and sad.
It's upbeat, you know, and it's at the end. you know, she goes to heaven and everybody's happy. And the end was all the Tiny Toons were dead in heaven, which looked like Las Vegas, and they're all celebrating with Babs, so it had a happy ending.
No, it didn't.
And at the end of the song, it goes, yeah, and Bobby Darin goes, yeah, give her the real things, you know, like, it's because now she's in heaven surrounded by real flowers. I mean, it's not like a dirge, it's actually upbeat. And I'm sitting there, and Jim didn't type, you know, he didn't use a computer. He wrote it on legal pads. And I'm sitting there, and my mouth is hanging open like the thylacine grin, you know, the wide open yawn. And I can't, no sound is coming out. It is so fucking funny. The descriptions of what Babs goes through and the dodo living it up in Vegas. And that to me is what Looney Tunes are about. You know, it wasn't like she's really suffering. It's like a parody of that. And I'm going like, this is the best thing we've ever done for the show. And then we got it typed up and it went in and it was like, that's pretty boring, don't you think? No, it's going to be really funny. No, we're late and we got to cut something. And I don't see how we can make this happy. And I'm going like, maybe it's me. Maybe I just think it's funny.
You just have a very twisted sense of humor, I guess.
I still love that cartoon. I mean, that was one of the things we had to cut. And, you know, you either got it or you didn't. But yeah. I think if we had actually done it... Jim worked with John Crisafulli on Mighty Mouse. He wrote a lot of those cartoons. And then you take it to a place where you can't help but think it's parody.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, Disney did a version of The Little Match Girl a few years ago, and it was touching and moving and everything. This is like just a big parody of it. I'm so sorry we didn't get a chance to do that. Because if you listen to the song, it's really over the top and mawkish. So you're just sort of giving the song what
wow.
So that's a little bit of insight about what Little Tiny Toons it never was. So I still love that. It exists somewhere. I think Jim just has the legal pad somewhere. I'll have to ask him about it again, if he still remembers it. One last thing about Jim Reardon. I know we're running real late here. He did one of the funniest student films I have ever seen. He did two really hysterical student films. One you can find online. It's kind of legendary. It's called Bring Me the Head of Charlie Brown. And he animated it. It's a dead-on parody of a Charlie Brown special. And he got the Vince Guaraldi music going in the background. And he got some... I think one of his roommates at Cal Arts was a fellow from South America or something. He did Charlie Brown's voice. And it's like, I don't know, Linus. Someone is out to get me. You know, an accent or something. And the premise is the Great Pumpkin puts out a hit on Charlie Brown, so all the Peanuts gang are trying to kill Charlie Brown. And they show him, like, you know, the most grotesque things, like, you know, dropping pianos on him and, you know, Snoopy biting his arm off and everything. And it looks like a pencil test. He never finished it up. And some people have wanted to, like, finish it up. I mean, like, hey, let me color it in. But it's like, oh, man, no, it's student film is okay, but if it really gets out there, the Schultz estate, you know, will be after him. And he did another one that was really funny called Ouchless, which was just like a kid getting a Band-Aid taken off for the first time. And it was over the top and violent and really, really, really
funny. He sounds mentally ill.
No, he's great. He's hysterical. Wall-E, man. You know. Let's see. Still, Eric IGN writes, still have the poster that Batman, the animated series events signed by Paul Dini, Bruce Timm, Kevin Altieri, and Dan Reba. Yes, that was 19 years ago. Okay, that's nice to know. Jim Coffee Roll writes, so Batgirl is relaunching with Barbara Gordon. Any thoughts on what will become of Stephanie? Stephanie Brown, spoiler, who was also Batgirl.
I was kind of curious, but the fact that Wally the Flash is going to be sort of not around either because they're establishing Barry right now is...
I don't know. Apparently they're reworking Harley Quinn so she never knew the Joker. Tell me about that.
What?
I mean, it's been hinted that, like, oh, yeah, there Harley Quinn's around, but she never knew the Joker. We're going to reestablish that relationship. It's like,
yeah.
Really? Okay. All right.
That's an interesting choice.
That's an interesting choice. All right. Okay.
Guess we'll just have to find out with all of that.
R.W. Powell, 1966, writes, you'll likely get this 100 times in the news on the fate of Tower Prep. Yeah, we're still waiting to see. I don't know. You know, hopefully by next week or the next time I do a podcast. I won't be here next week, but I'll have some sort of definitive answer on that. I know I've been saying that for months, but really, I don't know, folks. Chaos in a Box. I know you worked on the short-lived Clerks cartoon. Any fond memories? Yes, tons. I should actually do a whole show about that. You know what?
A fun cartoon.
Someday I'll get Kevin Smith and or Dave Mandel in here, and we should have like a Clerks
That'd be amazing.
Reunion.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Kevin does podcasts every moment of every day.
Yeah, exactly. You can put in another podcast there.
So, you know what? I had a great time on that for the little time I was on it. But really, I just came in. I'd meet with Kevin and David over dinner, once or twice. And I would pitch out some ideas. And they were very generous. And they put my name on the scripts or they would bring me in for voices. I just remember being, a real hoot watching them work on the show. They're the ones that will tell that story. I would like to get them in here if they have a chance. I know David's off doing a movie with Sacha Baron Cohen now, so.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
David's a nice guy.
Yeah, it's great.
Just a real nice guy.
Yeah, for the short time I worked on it, it was terrific.
It was clever.
Yeah, that show really got a raw deal, and I think that they really should try and bring that back, because you look at Futurama got a second chance, Family Guy got a second chance, Kevin has this big fan following.
Yeah.
Even more so now that if they ran new episodes. And actually, I saw Jason Mewes recently, and he said he was trying to do some more stuff with them, and trying to get...
Yeah, there's only three or four that they ever aired on TV, and it was completely out of order. And then by the end of this actual DVD season, you see that they're just totally taking that into the writing and going, yeah, they're sort of screwing with us.
Yeah, I had sort of pitched an idea that they had gone with, and that was like, hey, you know what? You know how they always do that character gets lost in the basement episode and they show a clip show?
That was one of my favorites.
What if you do that for the second episode and all they can remember is the first episode?
And they thought
that was a great idea.
You're brilliant.
And suddenly it's like, okay, we'll do the pilot. And then the second episode, all you do is flashback to the pilot.
Yeah.
And then some guy at ABC says, you know what? The second episode's really funny. It's even a little funnier than the first episode. What if we show the second episode first? It's like, no one's going to know what it refers back to. Are you that stupid? And yeah, they were.
Yeah.
And they only made six episodes. Man, I swear to God, if they had kept that going. Every show has a rocky person. Every cut.
Remember when done, and they're climbing up the side of the building, and the plant drops.
It'd still be running if they gave that half a chance. Seinfeld was a bomb when it came on. It was a summer replacement show.
Yeah.
But they gave that a chance. I mean, it was always creatively good. It was just didn't perform ratings.
It was just before that, internet, demand that, Family Guy and Futurama had, where there's an online presence.
Kevin is doing... he's doing Smodimation now, like his podcast. He's animating parts of his podcast.
Like Ricky Gervais does?
Okay.
I think so. I don't know. I've only watched a
show
on
Comedy Central where he animates his podcast.
Mm-hmm. I've seen more of Kevin's than I have of Ricky's.
I have never
Ricky's.
Seen Kevin's. I've only seen Ricky's. So I just wondered if they were similar format.
I don't know. I'd have to watch the Ricky Gervais
one. I'm sure they're wicked different because both comedians have very different styles.
But yeah. But I really think that, I know he's directing one last movie, but I really think he should return to Clerks. I mean, because I think he could sell that in a heartbeat. It's been 10 years and people know it. I think it sold pretty well on DVD. I think it would just be a matter of this if he had time to do it and put together a team again. Let's see. Mick Ramsey says, if you look back on your animation writing achievements, is there anything you would change? No. I probably would have shouted at some executives more, knowing that I wouldn't have been thrown out of work. I think the first time I worked with Bruce Timm, it was on a show with John Chris Velucci. It was a Beanie and Cecil show, and we were trying to revive that one. And
I didn't even know I got that into somebody some big tried to revive that until a few years ago.
I got into some big fights with the executive, and now with the executives on that show. Now I wish I had fought even harder. Not because I felt I could change things, but I just... It's too bad they got away unscathed. I would have rather have drawn a little more blood on that now, because I don't... Let's not go there. Let's keep this upbeat and pleasant. What questions are you tired of asking? None here, but the one I get tired of answering when I do a signing is, your hand tired yet? Well, I just sat down and I'm opening my water and I haven't signed anything yet, so I'm doing okay, Chief.
Have you ever actually looked at somebody and went, oh God, yeah, someone give me an Advil, please, God, Have you ever done that?
I will now.
Yeah, totally.
I've actually
stopped asking.
I've actually stopped doing signings.
You're such an asshole.
I refuse to do store signings anymore.
Why?
Because what happened was, most of the store signings I've done have been pretty good, but there have been a few, and they were actually growing in number when I stopped doing them about 6 years ago. They were getting to be awfully the same, and that would be like, I think a store, there were about a handful of store...
I just got an idea for a short. Sorry, I'll tell you about it after.
Okay. There were a few store, I'll keep it quick. There were a few store owners that flew me in to do store signings at their expense, and they were big fans of my comic book work, or they were big fans of my TV work. And once I got in there, they were disappointed with the turnout of the crowd. And, you know, there was always a good crowd, and there were always very nice people, and the fans were terrific. But they'd say, like, you know, we had Grant Morrison in here, and the line was down the block. We had Neil Gaiman in here, and they had to close off half the city. And it's like,
yeah, the difference... they publicize themselves a little bit more, and not only that, but this is their job to get people in there, right?
Yeah, yeah, but also, you know, they're writing... You know, they've had a bigger career in fiction than I have, and they've written a diversity of things. Also, don't forget... people have to pay to buy Grant's work or pay for Neil's work. Mm-hmm. You can, the best of my work you can see for free on TV. You know, whether if you're a Lost fan, you don't pay to watch Lost. You don't pay to watch Tower Prep or the Batman cartoon. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're going to have fans of those, of different things showing up. But it's not like, you know, you pay to buy my comic books. But, you know, it's just different, you know.
But since they got literature and stuff like that under them.
Yeah, I have a solid, you know, all joking aside, I have a very solid and dedicated and very nice fan base. But, you know, if you think you're going to... But and that was the weird thing is, like, you bring me in, you're going to get roughly this amount of turnout. Don't blame me if you spent money flying me in and putting up a show and, you know, and you only get X amount of return. It's like... look how many books I sell in my body of work. It's small compared to Neil's or Grant's or Jeff Johns in fiction. You know, to a degree, it's a different audience. So, and I began, and it's weird for me to, you know, they'll plan a signing for 4 hours. They were planning signings for 4 hours, and I was done in like 90 minutes. And I heard, you know, sometimes I would hear guys whining about, well, we spent a lot of money on this. It's like, oh, sorry, dude. Then I'll make it easy. I'm not going to do any more store signings, you know. When I have a big book that comes out that's like, I don't know, Crumb's version of the Bible or something all mine and that's like a big solo event, I'll be back. But until now, you know, don't ask me back to sign a Streets of Gotham compilation and don't be pissed that the line doesn't go down the street. It is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, and again, I still feel like it is part of the store's job to publicize you. If they expect a certain amount of crowd, they need to try to reach that crowd with publicity.
I was turning down people all week. They said, you know, all month they were saying, will you come to our event? You know, we're going to do a midnight event. Will you be, you know, here at the relaunch of the new 52? And it's like, no, I'm not doing one of those books. So yeah.
What would be the point of having you sign?
Having me there is like white noise, especially if you've got guys who are already, you know, working on the book. You know, we've got this artist, we've got this inker, we've got this writer stopping by. Will you come too? It's like, I got nothing to sign. And other than the fact that you got one more guy who works on comics there, you know, I don't see the point, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll pick up my books tomorrow and I'll read them and enjoy them with everybody else, but I'm not going to, you know, show up and sign. Let's see. Your thoughts on the DCU reset and how it may impact the DC animated universe?
They usually are pretty independent. Apples and
oranges, they don't have anything to do with it. You know, for one thing, I'm not working on the DC animated universe right now, and I'm not working on the reset, so...
The only time that ever influences each other is if there's some concept that's really successful, they try to incorporate it with... the Blue Beetle became really popular, so they try to incorporate more of him in, like, Smallville and stuff like that.
I mean, you know, we'll have to see. You know, I think that anything that happens now in the comics is going to take a while to catch on before it becomes, you know, big canon part of the DC universe and the cultural zeitgeist and the thing at that point. You know, it fits
the other way with Harley Quinn. It took like 2 or 3 years before they actually brought her into the continuity of the comic books.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't screw up the Joker all that bad. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, it's sort of like, hey, that's sort of interesting seeing him in a weird relationship like this, that kind of works. So let's bring her into the comics. So, one thing kind of feeds another, but I can't really answer that. I'll have to see how they meld together. Is the next Batman animated movie going to be voiced by Kevin Conroy? That's from Dangerous Talk. I don't know what the next Batman movie is. So I can't answer that. Jorge Sabrita writes, how are you feeling today, Paul? Pretty darn good, actually. Thank you, Jorge.
Nice.
That's very nice. Look at Jorge's picture. I don't know if that's really Jorge, but...
he types very well for a 4-year-old.
But he looks... Yeah, I mean, that could be him at 4 years old. Mr. Jeremy Dillon writes, can I buy copies of your Batman teleplays anywhere? It's like, yeah, you know, those aren't for sale. At one point, we had actually talked... This is about 12 years ago, we had talked about putting out a book. And DC was really going to do this. They were going to do like a best of script book.
That would have been great.
Was going to be accentuated with the illustrations, storyboard illustrations. I still would like to see that happen. And we had actually picked some scripts to go in there. And that fell through, unfortunately.
The only thing you have is the Return of the Joker book.
Yeah, the Return of the Joker book is it. That's the one out there. I think you can find that on eBay. But anything else, no, you're not supposed to sell those, but you can find them. You know, copies are floating around. You can get them.
Of course.
You know.
A lot of used bookstores in Hollywood definitely carry old scripts of things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Here's another one that says, will I be writing for the Green Lantern animated series? Nope, I just didn't have time to comic junkie.
People really love Green Lantern and you writing it.
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked to have done it, but I just didn't. And we have, any hopes for Tower Prep Season 2 from Karnak 96? Again.
Karnak?
Yeah.
He should know the answer.
Yes, exactly.
Well, let's see. I mean, I keep...
Put an envelope to your head and answer your own question, Karnak.
You know, again, hopefully I'll have an answer on that at some point. And I think that finishes off the questions.
I sure wonder when Albright's coming home. There he is! Good boy!
Oh man, he drove right through the living room!
Yes, good dog.
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter at Radio Rashi or at Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.
Did you bring me my sexy chips from Las Vegas?
Hey there, big boy.
Nana, what the hell am I gonna do with that?